We're going to be talking about pooling things together. Now, we are going to be using 1 Corinthians 12 as the main part of this study, and I know that a lot of people are like, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body. Yes, but I didn't want to show a bunch of body parts as a part of this lesson today, so I'm going to do gears instead. So I've always been fascinated with gears, and I'm hoping that today's lesson can kind of help bring things together. You know, I'm always very impressed whenever we have a class here at Waynesville. I learn so much from the other members. I feel like we have a lot of great scholars here that can really help us focus on a lot of the things that are in the Scriptures. However, I don't consider myself a scholar. I hope that at least I might be a motivational speaker, maybe, to help motivate us towards these things about moving forward. So I do love to study the Bible. However, a lot of the topics that we're going to be talking about today are moving forward. Things that you may have already read before, but I would like to put some things in perspective. Now, I like gears. I always have. Even my office in my house is decorated with gears. I've always liked industrial design and things with gears. Now, I don't know if that goes back to when I was little, right? We were always fascinated with gears. The funny thing about this picture is when I told Andrew that I was going to be doing a lesson on gears, he was like, oh, like the little toy gear thing. And I was like, actually, that's the first picture. Is that idea of gears, things working together. I think we're always fascinated by things with gears and things that move and interlock with each other. Even when you give ideas or topics to students, as you guys know, I'm a professor, and I love the idea about being in a class, and I can tell when the gears start turning in the students' minds. They start to understand things. Those gears start working together, and they start making connections. I actually just did a study, a cognitive study about brain development, and I think it's interesting that the way that our brains develop is, according to science, that our brain isn't fully developed until we're about 25. And the way that they are understanding that is that as your brain develops, it actually starts developing in the back of the brain, and then it works its way forward. And then by the age of 25, the front of the brain then can work with the back of the brain. Right? So then it's a fully developed brain, so it can recall things from the back of the brain to the front of the brain. So I think of those as like gears, things moving forward. And sometimes when my kids do things, I keep thinking, okay, well, their brain hasn't fully developed yet, so then therefore they're not understanding when I say things. But when I think of gears also, I think about a moving clock, moving time forward. Right? Every gear is necessary. If there was a gear missing from a watch, it just simply wouldn't work. Also, the same with an engine, about interlocking gears to help move something forward, to move things along. So that's the intent and the idea with the study this morning. Now, I am going to use a lot of images and some verses to kind of get my point across. And actually, with this morning, I'd like to try something new. I haven't done this before. However, I really like the idea of using images to help relay a story. It's like an art narrative, if anybody's done any art narratives. It's kind of putting things together to tell a story. And I like the idea of that. I was actually in a meeting not too long ago where there's a person in the cybersecurity world that's really respected. And there was another person in the meeting with him, and this person was just drawing pictures the whole time. Well, the one individual thought that this person wasn't paying attention because they were drawing pictures. But he was actually drawing pictures. That was the way he takes notes. He takes notes in the form of art, and then when he draws that picture, he hangs that up in his office as things that he needs to complete. He draws the picture of him completing it. That was fascinating. I had never thought about that before because I don't really like using words. I like using art to relay images. So I'm going to use that a little bit this morning, because I would like to talk a little bit about 1 Corinthians before I start reading 1 Corinthians 12. So if we look at 1 Corinthians, if we look at the entire book, we can think about the way that it's broken down. So if we think about Corinthians, we know that Paul spent a little bit of time with the church at Corinthians, about a year and a half. So he spent time there, and we see that from Acts 18, that he spent some time there at Corinth. Well, after he spent some time there at Corinth, he continues on to build other churches in other places. When he continues on to build other churches, he starts getting word back from individuals saying, hey, there's some problems at Corinth that need to be addressed. So he does this a very interesting way. He takes the writings of 1 Corinthians, where he defines what the problem is, and then he responds with the gospel. So if we were to break down these sections into each of the 16 chapters, we can define the problem, and it's responded to with the gospel. So I am just prefacing this because I'm going to be skipping over some verses here, but those verses that I'm skipping paint the picture of the problem that's happening there at Corinth. What we're going to do is we're going to look at this response of the gospel right here. Not necessarily the problem they were dealing with, but we're going to look at his response to everyone. Because they were issuing some problems. They had some problems with the gathering, we can see here. And then I would like just to look at his response. So if you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to start here in verse 12 to kind of get this idea of his response to the problem that they had. And it says, "For as the body is one, and as many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not the body,' is it therefore not the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not the body? If the whole body were one eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No such, rather, these members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And these members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow great honor, and our unrepresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having been given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care of one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." So when we talk about that, we talk about how important every person is to the body of Christ. Now if we were to break down that image just a little bit further, we can think about breaking down those pieces. We talked about the eye, the head, the mouth, the foot, the hand. You know, these are just some ideas given with each of those pieces. We know that it's very important in that they should all work together. Because if they are not working together, you can see that this is why this letter is being written to Corinth, that they were not working together. Their wheels and their gears were not aligning. They were not working together for one common good. Now again, like I said, I could have showed some like severed body parts to talk about how things weren't working well together and talk about getting the point across. I think that would really get the point across. But we're going to be talking about gears this morning because I don't know if anybody's broken down the idea of a gear. Because you have a gear and the little teeth of the gear are called cogs. And those cogs have to work with the other pieces of the gear in order for it to be a fully functioning gear. And then you get into sprockets and cogwheels and all that kind of stuff. We're not really going to get into that deep of it. I read over another person's lesson that they put together with gears, and at the very end, he was like, "Don't get too deep into the concept of what gears are. Make sure that you're preaching the gospel and not just talking about gears." So, but with the idea of gears, we can think about many members in one body. I find it interesting that that is a term used throughout Scripture when talking about working together. We also see this in Romans 12, 4 through 5, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. So we think about how we can all work together as one body. If not, right, there'd be confusion, there'd be chaos, we'd all be singing different songs. There wouldn't be any structure to how the church is set up. Well, just like spending time at the church of Corinth, Paul also spent time with the church at Ephesus. And then he also wrote a book to Ephesus, kind of outlining the same idea. So again, if I can give an idea of an overview of the book of Ephesus, we know that Paul spent some time there in Acts 19, and then when he was imprisoned, he wrote to the book of Ephesus. Now, in the book of Ephesus, we're only going to be looking at chapter 4 when we're going to be talking about what they did here at in Ephesus. Because he's trying to relay something to them. He has the gospel story, you know, the good news, and he's talking about our story, what we can do. So we're going to be looking here at this section. Now, this kind of feeds off of what was discussed there in 1 Corinthians. I have a good feeling that he's also trying to relay that to the church here at Ephesus. That same idea of that one unity, that working together. Because if we break that down and we look at just this one section, we're going to be talking about Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. But if you were to look at this passage here of equipping the saints, I found out that this is the only time that equipping is ever used in the New Testament. That this idea of equipping is only used here. And of course, when we talk about equipping, we normally think about giving someone the necessary tools to complete a job. That's what equipment is, and that's how we get equipped with knowledge or understanding. We use them as tools to help. So I thought it was interesting here, as Paul is writing to the church here at Ephesus, to talk about equipping each other. Because they talk about many gifts. We talk about prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, preachers, everything all together here. So in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, let's read that passage. And it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for edifying the body of Christ." So again, we have the term equipping, we have what it's for, the ministry, and then again it talks about the body, the singular body of Christ. "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the features of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth to the body for the edifying of itself in love." This talks about the work and the effectiveness of a body working well together. Because we're known to work together, because this also mentions that we do this in love. That edifying itself in love. And I find it interesting that this same idea of a body and love is also carried out through Hebrews. So in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 it says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Well, we know in context, the day approaching here is probably the fall of Jerusalem. We have the Romans coming to destroy Jerusalem. But for each of us, we know that we will be facing trials. We know that things will come up on us, and we need to work together to help support one another in those days of trials. Because we need to make sure that we're following this in sound doctrine, making sure that we are doing this together, that we're doing this in the manner exhorting one another. Because Titus also mentions this idea of us working together, that proper for sound doctrine. Because in Titus 2, 1 through 8, it says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homeworkers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be pattern of good works, and the doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." So we're each to be teaching that sound doctrine, to working together, inside and outside of meeting together. That this is what our lives are to be consisting of. And if you think about it, if someone is not doing these things, if someone is doing something outside of what we're teaching and working together on, their cogs may be a little bit broken. And if you think of the idea of us working together, about one wheel, one gear is helping spin those other gears. And you think that you may have a gear, but you may have a broken cog. So what would happen if you have a gear that's spinning and you have cogs that's breaking? It is not helping spin those other gears. You have a gear that's spinning, but every only so often is it helping spin those other gears. That we are to be working together, because if not, that's what causes division. That's what causes these other gears not to work together. And that was what was happening. Because if I go back to 1 Corinthians again, remember I showed the timeline of everything, what was happening in 1 Corinthians. If I showed what was happening, right, Paul knew that there was problems. This is why he wrote the letter. Because in the very first piece of 1 Corinthians, he's pleading with them to work together. "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and of the same judgment." We think of gears being joined together, to working together, because if there's broken pieces, it can't function. "For it has been declared to me that concerning you, my brethren, by those of Cole's household, that there are contentions among you." The reason that I put that in there, that I left that verse in there, is because there apparently was a group that was causing contentions. There was some broken cogs that were not helping the rest of the gears spin. And I often have mentioned, I am glad that I did not live back in these times, because would that have been me that was mentioned? No. I don't know. I could you imagine having all of your faults recorded in the Bible for the history to see? That we think about that, but what I've been thinking about with this lesson is, I want to be working with everyone, that our gears are working together to help everyone move forward, to help the church move forward and help us all to work together, that there's no divisions. Because that wasn't what was happening at Corinth. There was a group causing these issues. And I don't know what was going on in Cole's household that was not allowing things to work together. But there could have been stumbling blocks that had prevented them to work together. Because that's also presented in the book of James about working together, that there might be things we might stumble in. So James 1-5 says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we have stumbled in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth, that we may obey us, that we can turn the whole body. Look also at the ships. Although they were so large, they are driven by fierce winds. They are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member, the tongue is a little member, and boats a greater thing." When we think about this, this further talks about the tongue, and about how the tongue can be used to glorify God, but it also can be used to put down things. And again, the tongue is a part of our body. But if we think about the tongue in God's church, that's how we preach the word. That's how we mention things to others. But we know that we all stumble in things. I just hope that all of the other members' gears are working, that they can help spin mine or help repair my gear if there's anything broken. When I mentioned this lesson to some other people, they mentioned about how you have to keep lubricating gears. And I was thinking, oh yeah, well that's like coming to services and reading the Word of God is making sure that our gears are always perfectly functioning. Because we always have to glorify God, and no matter what we do. So in 1 Peter 4, 8-11, it says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another." You can see where we're starting to make a connection between all of the members of the church in love for one another. "For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each has one received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the mindful grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do so with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belonging to glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Because we know that God is to be glorified. And I have the same verse again, but I had actually this image to go with it, so I apologize, it's a duplicate slide. We know that everything is to work together. We do all things for God. That all of our gears are to be set into motion to be doing things for God. We can't do it alone. We're here to do it with one another. So we need to make sure that our gear has all of its cogwheel pieces to it. That it's aligned to the other gears. Because we can be a gear over here by ourselves. But if we're not working, moving something forward with all the other gears, we're not really doing anything. So we know we're all to work together. So the last verse I have this morning is Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are all called according to His purpose. That we all know that our gear should be turning and spinning and working with the other gears to help propel everyone forward. So as we bring this service to a close, I hope this has been beneficial. Again, the thought and intent of this lesson is to talk and to encourage everyone about working together. I feel like we do a great job here of working together, sharing love, working together through hard times. We've been through a lot here. Together, even building this building and working together as a team. I feel like we get encouragement coming here, and I love to see how that will progress in the future as my little ones grow up and if things come together. This was set in motion. These gears were put together 2,000 years ago, and this has been a perfect engine, well oiled. Everything has been put together. All of the gears are in the proper place. They put together by God. Everything is working together to move us forward as we continue to grow and build the church and to strengthen each other towards God. And if you'd like to become a member, if you need a new gear wheel, or if you would like to become a member and build your gear,